Sarah, back to you on the debate that was on in the Dáil this evening. The EU migration and asylum pact is being debated at the moment. It's been put through as kind of an omnibus measure. It's been proposed as an omnibus measure, even though it contains several elements. Just walk us through what it'll mean for Ireland.
Yes, so the EU's new migration pact will bring about a number of changes to how those seeking asylum are processed. And the aim is to standardise the response across all EU member states to international protection, asylum and migration. Some of the more sort of controversial measures include stronger border security with more collection of fingerprints and photographs of new arrivals, a faster processing of all applicants with legally binding timeframes for decision making, as well as a greater focus on returning unsuccessful applicants to their home countries or to other European countries they've travelled through, as well as a new solidarity mechanism to give greater support to countries such as Italy and Greece.
All right. Alan Farrell, the government is committed to signing up for this. It's been put through in one measure. Some people have called for individual measures to be debated and to be voted on one at a time. Why not?
Well, I think first and foremost, this matter has been in discussion, in negotiation for 8 years, seven or eight years. And at an EU level, Ireland has been part of that process throughout. My personal feeling on why individual items are not being selected in view or in lieu of others is that we've been involved in all of those negotiations for all of the elements of the pact. And the primary reason that we were choosing to adopt the pact in totality is that we feel that all aspects of the migration and asylum pact will benefit Ireland. That's the primary reason. The secondary reason I feel is that having spent so much time negotiating this matter, 7 years, 8 years is a long, long time for something like this to come out of the European Union. Certainly the longest that I'm aware of, I'm sure somebody could correct me, but that certainly seems like the longest that I can recall of this nature. It's important to recognise that given we participated in all of it, given we feel it benefits us, there is an urgency to this as well. And that urgency is in the sense that the existing arrangements are not working. There has been a breakdown between European states because some states are not accepting returns, for instance, which was an individual who might have sought...
This is under the Dublin regulation.
Dublin 3, exactly, the Dublin 3 regulation, where an individual might have claimed asylum in another EU country but has ended up in Ireland, and we have the right to return them. But in certain instances, those countries are not accepting returns at the moment because they feel they're being, overburdened in other ways because this is a crisis. Now, we have an obligation under the Refugee Convention, the UN Refugee Convention, going all the way back to 1951, and the protocols that emanated from that in the 1970s, and then more recently in the 20s. Teens EU regulation in relation to how we treat asylum seekers. And it is important to say that, Ireland is a compassionate country. We don't want to see asylum seekers in tents. The Oireachtas doesn't want to see people in tents. The government doesn't want to see people in tents. We have an obligation to do our best. And okay, we feel that the Migration Pact is the best way that we can arrest the difficulties that we've had across the European Union, introduce the solidarity mechanism where we can assist others, and most importantly, have the standards associated with what constitutes appropriate accommodation, okay, which I think is just as important as the rest.
All right, I'll come to Donal O'Leary, who spoke on this earlier today, but Michael Fitzmaurice, you're speaking on it tomorrow. You've heard from Alan Farrell, I suppose, the pitch for why it's being done the way it's been done in terms of the process in the Dáil, and also something on the content of it. How will you be speaking? What's your position?
I'll be voting against it. There are parts of it, and this is the problem. There are parts of it, like the fingerprint part, and, there are parts with the different instruments that are good. But the problem is, it's all full duck or no dinner. That's the way they're putting it together, the government. We have an opt-out clause at the moment. Denmark are using theirs. In my opinion, we're giving sovereignty away. And if you read the detail, I think it's Protocol 21 of the Lisbon Treaty gave us that right. We would have asked, if the government are so sure of themselves what they're doing, and it was involved in a vote before under the Lisbon Treaty, why don't we go back to the people and give them the option of that at the moment? And when you look at the detail, you have to make sure that if a person is being sent to another country, be it education, be it accommodation, be it the health services, there is such a myriad of stuff in it that you're accountable for. And on top of that, we are ceding more power. And, you know, the worry I have down the road is that every day we hear, be it in agriculture, be it environment, or be it whatever, oh, well, this is a new EU law or this is a new EU regulation. We will then be giving away what we can control, and we will be giving up, and we'll be given the excuse once more to our ministers that they'd be able to blame Europe for everything that's coming in.
Do you mind me asking, just what specific aspect of the Asylum and Migration Pact do you see cedes the most sovereignty that's not currently been ceded to the European Union?
Well, you're ceding every bit of it the minute you opt in. That's it.
All right. Donough O'Leary, you spoke on this earlier. What's your stance?
Look, I mean, the first thing is, like, I mean, I think most people recognise that we need to ensure that people who are genuinely fleeing conflict are properly protected, but there also needs to be a system that's fair, efficient and enforced, and that where people are here and that that they're not successful, then they need to be returned. And I think, I suppose we're having the debate in that context. I do think it's a mistake that the government are bringing this forward as a single proposal. There is a reason that Ireland is a country that has been offered an opt-out. That not every country has that. The primary reason is the fact that we have a common travel area with
Britain. We weren't offered it.
Well, it exists in EU treaty law. Like, I mean, the fundamental point remains the same. And the reason for that is because we have a common travel area with Britain. We have it for over a century. I think it's important that
we're not in the border screening part of it. The Schengen states are, we're not.
No,
so
that's right.
That's one area that Ireland isn't in.
But the opt-out exists for that reason. And I do think it's important that we retain our flexibility to the greatest extent possible. Now, migration is a highly uncertain area. We could never have anticipated the situation we're in at this moment. It's very difficult to anticipate what the future will bring. In our view, it is a mistake to not be selective. I was amazed when I questioned the Minister for Justice on this a few months ago, and she said that no consideration was given to choosing parts and not choosing other parts. There are parts that we think, you know, we're not blind to the need for international cooperation. We recognise in the AMMR proposal that there is a need to return people.
But before I go back to Alan Farrell, can I just ask you, what's the specific part of the Asylum and Migration Pact that you particularly object to that you see cede sovereignty, greater sovereignty to the European Union?
Well, I think it's easier and quicker to identify the two parts that we would opt into, because there are two parts that we would opt into, and that is the Eurodac proposal, which relates to the database and the information. I think it's important that we be able to access that for our
own. That's now going to include photographic data, yeah.
And also the AMMR, which is to do with, which we believe it's necessary. Look, if you didn't sign up to that, people would be arriving here. You would have no mechanism to return them to another
this is
country.
Instead of under the Dublin regulation,
yes,
where there's a take-back request, there's a take-back notification.
But the government...
I want to get Alan Farrell's response on that, and I'll come back to you,
Yeah, look, firstly, our constitution provides that we have an opt-out. That's the most important aspect to it. We voted on the Lisbon Treaty. It gives us it gives the Dáil and Seanad an opportunity to debate and vote on any matters put before us by the European Union. And this is one of them. Usually these processes are fairly benign. The matter goes before the relevant committee. It then goes into the Dáil. It's noted. Sometimes there's this debate. Sometimes there isn't.
Right. Just to answer the point of what Donal Colera and Michael Fitzmaurice debate. Say is that...
there's no question of sovereignty at all.
Ceding sovereignty. Okay,
we already know the percentage of laws that emanate from the European Union. I remember during one of the debates on RTE, it was said it was 70% of EU law, 30% is domestic. So, you know, we know that there is a great deal of law overseen by the European Parliament, by the Commission and the Council, and indeed by government and by the Oireachtas, and that will continue to be the case. We have participated in the negotiation of this document. It does not harm our sovereignty. It does not preclude us from making decisions that we feel are in our best interests in relation relation to the treatment of asylum seekers, in relation to our contribution to countries, for instance, who might find themselves like Italy and Greece, like Sarah mentioned at the outset, and or any other country that might see itself seeing a huge number of migrants in the future over the coming decades, because we never know what's going to happen.
I just want to let Michael Fitzmaurice know that you've heard what Alan Farrell is arguing there in terms of the volume of law that already comes from Europe, number one, and number two, the issue of establishing basic minimum standards and the discretion that's allowed to member states under that. What do you say to that?
The volume of law that's coming, that we have given away already, in my opinion, we are giving more away. Second of all, once this is agreed, the facts are that the EU will be, as a whole, will be deciding. The only one I think is Denmark that has opted out. Will be deciding.
I'd like to correct that if I could.
Okay, just you dispute that, and I'll come back to Michael Fitzmaurice on that.
Oh, sorry, I didn't realise you were letting me. Yeah, no, my apologies. So this is in relation to Denmark. I've heard this a lot. So Ireland opting in is not, Denmark is not comparable in any way, shape, or form.
Why not?
Because it doesn't have that option. Denmark doesn't have its option under the functioning of the European Union, under that particular treaty. Because they're a Schengen member, unlike ourselves, Denmark hasn't exercised their opt-out because they're already participating in elements of the pact, but not in others. And that's on the basis of their membership of Schengen. So it's apples and oranges. Yes, they're an EU member state, but they've always treated migrants different than other countries within the EU.
All right.
If you're so sure of yourself, Alan, why isn't this? The Lisbon Treaty, obviously, we went to the polls twice for it. There was protocols put into it. I think it's Protocol 21 is the part that I talk about. Why don't we give the option to the people of this country to decide whether we should or shouldn't do what
because
we're doing?
Because we already did, Michael. And the reason that we have the opt-in under the Lisbon Treaty for our Parliament to make the decision is because that's what the people voted for. So we're literally exercising the will.
The people should get another opt-in.
Well, with the greatest of respect, Michael, we are literally exercising the will of the Irish people, as explained twice during the Lisbon Treaty.
That's where you should find out whether you are or not.
All right. Well, what will we be changing in the Constitution, Michael?
No, but it's not a constitutional question. What I'm asking you is, should we opt in or out? That's the question.
But that's not a constitutional question. So why would we have a referendum on when we already decided?
You can have a referendum on things. There's no problem that way.
So you're just talking about a consultative referendum, Michael Fitzmaurice, is it? Okay, Donegal area.
Yeah, look, I make the point again. Like, I mean, I suppose not only are we the common travel area, but obviously the common travel area is with a non-EU country that's not bound by EU law, that is liable to potentially do anything and will have changes of government, and there will be various changes there within. Like, the potential that exists there for the serious divergence, I think we would be hugely restricted in being able to resolve things in a bilateral way between Britain and Ireland if we have signed up to every element. But the other point that is worth making is there are significant human rights concerns.
Is that not leaving open the possibility where Britain would have greater influence on Ireland's legislation than Europe would?
No, I don't think it would. Like, I mean, what I'm talking about is a bilateral negotiation where, you know, in circumstances where issues arise that the Irish government would not be constrained by European law and it would be in a position to decide to go to the British government and say, we're not satisfied with this, we're not satisfied with that, we need to resolve that in next place. This is an important point as well, because the human rights concerns in relation to this are not minor. Like, I mean, you saw over the course of the weekend reports of migrants being thrown into the sea off the course of Greece, and, you know, the Migration Pact has not resolved that, and in many respects, particularly stuff around the force majeure regulation and the procedures regulation, actually it potentially emboldens that approach at the European frontiers. We'd be very concerned about that.
Alan Farrell, the human rights concerns, several organisations have come out against this. They're concerned about the detention of children potentially on the borders of Europe and oppose this as a result.
I've seen elements of that, and certainly that part of the debate was had in the Dáil this afternoon and this evening, and undoubtedly more tomorrow. So my understanding, having debated this for about 4 hours in the, about 6 hours, I should say, in the Oireachtas Justice Committee, is that the concerns of the NGOs, I know the names of them, are not founded within the pact. There might be issues that need to be worked on with certain countries like Greece and Italy if they are the countries where these issues have been reported. I'm certainly aware of some issues in southern Spain.
Right, and there's a basic
France
minimum standard
in this. But what I was about to get to the point is the standard of accommodation that is to be provided under the pact by all EU member states is of a sufficient standard to satisfy the human rights expectations.
So when will the reception centres be in place so that Ireland is, if this passes, shovel ready to implement it?
The key and the most important aspect of this, as far as I'm concerned, is our capacity to respond to this crisis, our capacity to process people as quickly as possible, and our capacity to accommodate them. We don't want to see people on the streets. That is a failure of our human rights obligations. We don't want to see people in tents. We don't want to see people on the streets. We want to see people in appropriate accommodations.
When are we likely to see the building of these? Because this is going through the Dáil at the moment. Yeah. There's an implementation plan due by November, we understand, from the Department of Justice. So when will those centres be in place to make that implementation plan a reality?
I would certainly hope to see the large-scale facilities that were outlined by Minister O'Gorman starting the construction process next year. I would absolutely demand it, to be quite frank with you, because it's almost 2 years since we had that publication of that paper as to what we were going to do and how.
All right. Michael Fitzmaurice, in terms of reception centres and basic minimum standards of accommodation, is that something you'll be addressing tomorrow night?
I think under there'll be compulsory to have new centres. My understanding is it's supposed to be near ports or airports. The other part about this is, and no one has spoke about this so far, when granting asylum, it seems to be very broad in who can, say, if somebody is granted asylum in this country, it's very open in the amount of others that can come with them, in my opinion, in reading this EU pact.
So, sorry, in terms of what's defined as
family.
In your opinion, that's too broad or undefined in the current word.
It looks very broad. I would like to see it, basically defined more.
All right.